Hi, and welcome to another podcast from The Human Diver, where we are looking to apply counter-errorism techniques in diving. By that we mean human factors and non-technical skills. Our goal is to give you the knowledge and skills so that your dives are safer and more enjoyable. The podcast consists of audio blogs, which have been published on our website. Show notes will be provided so you can dig deeper if you want. Ready to jump in? A while ago, I wrote about the liveaboard I was on recently, where we aim to increase people's understanding of human factors and give them a chance to practice the skills we teach. I mentioned that debriefing was a big part of the week, so I thought I'd share possibly the most interesting debrief, which came from a challenging dive along a sandy slope. The brief had been that we would do a negative entry in the blue, descend and let the current push us onto the reef. From there, we'd hopefully see a big school of barracudas before zigzagging up the reef until we hit a sandy, shallow slope where we'd swim along and search for macro life while doing our safety stop. In reality, our entry was changed to a normal, positive entry, and when we descended, we found ourselves on a sandy slope with no reef in sight. After about 5 or 10 minutes, I didn't want to be there anymore. The current was pushing us away from the direction we were swimming, and worse, it was pushing us down. I was finning hard and could feel my breathing rate increasing. I looked around at my team and they were all doing the same. I caught the eye of the diver next to me, shook my head and gave him a thumbs up sign. He nodded and repeated it. As the guide looked back at us, I again stuck my thumbs up. He replied with a thumb up, followed by pointing towards the shallows in the direction we were attempting to fin. He then turned and carried on finning. I was surprised. I had expected him to return the signal and begin ascending immediately. It wouldn't have been a problem. Our tender was following us and able to pick us up. I turned to look at the diver next to me and realised he'd swam off. I saw him finning very hard in the direction we were aiming, but going slightly down, not up. Confused, I looked at where he was going and realised I could just about see the reef we'd been aiming for. He wasn't there long before he came back to where I was still trying to stick with my group. He shook his head and wrote on his wet notes, "A lot of effort for shit rock." He looked up at the guide, looked at me and stuck his thumb up. I thankfully agreed. The guide saw our signal and nodded, but continued swimming. My teammate and I glanced at each other again, and he got out his DSMB to signal to the boat we were coming up. Everyone else continued to follow the guide. Once we had completed our safety stop and were back on the boat, we started discussing what had just happened. We were the two most experienced divers in the group, and I felt a responsibility to call the dive as much for everyone else as myself. I was worried that some of the other divers might be struggling, and I was frustrated that the guide hadn't called the dive. My teammate explained that he'd gone to look at the reef as soon as he could make it out, to see if it was worth continuing to put the effort in, but didn't think that was the case, which is why he'd come back to me to end the dive.
Once everyone was safely back, we had a debrief.
It turned what had been a very negative dive, pun not intended, on mine and my teammate's side, to a really positive experience. The guide explained that he had thought it would be much easier to do the safety stop in the shallows, and that once we reached there, that the current would reduce. We explained our fears for the rest of our team, and that the effort to reward ratio made it not worth it for us. Some of the team pointed out that they had loved it, and never felt like it was too much, or that they were in trouble. The other teams had had similarly mixed results, and one of the biggest learning points came from the cruise director, who said that if this happened again, he would ask the guides to abort the dive, and we could try again in a slightly different spot, or later on. Without the debrief, I wouldn't have trusted that guide anymore, as I believed he was ignoring the thumbs-up sign. My teammate would have remained concerned that we could all be put in danger, and I'm sure the guide would have thought we were being difficult. We ended up repeating the dive later that day, and it went very well. We were dropped slightly closer to the reef, and most divers managed to see the barracudas. The current wasn't pushing us down anymore, just sideways, which made it more manageable, helped by the fact that this time, once we left the reef, we were going with it. As the trip went on, most people started to think differently about their diving. Some focused more on their proximity to the rest of the team, or the individual members. Some worked on their communication skills. Many learnt new signs. If someone did something odd, debriefs brought out how it made sense to that person to do what they did, which I suspect stops some of the bickering I've seen on other dive boats when frustrations build up. Because we'd built up a psychologically safe space, it also meant we'd built a friendlier space, where concerns could be addressed and worked on together. After the success of this trip, the second Human Factors in Diving Liveaboard ran in July to Cocos Island, with hopefully more to follow. Details will be posted to the Facebook group. Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to know more about what was discussed in this episode, head over to the Human Diver website at thehumandiver.com, where you will find details about our education programs, the If Only documentary, the book Under Pressure, and the many, many blogs we've published there. If you think others should listen and learn, consider sharing the link. Thank you.